Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Who here, I already got one hand up. Who here feels like they could do with more rest? More rest. Yeah, every one of us. And so today's topic is going to be excellent for each one of us because I think we value rest tremendously, right? We force our kids to go to bed at a certain time because we want them to go to bed and have rest. But it's one of those things that we value a lot, but we are terrible at doing. In fact, I think what most of us try to do is try to minimize the rest time and squeeze in as much activity as we can during the day. And kind of like this guy, I'm guilty of it, right? Right before I go to sleep, I squeeze in an hour of social media on my phone, eating into my rest time. And so we find ourselves trapped in this never-ending cycle of we know we need more rest, but we just don't do it. And so I want to highlight one event that happened this past weekend concerning rest. So some of you were here last Sunday, and the vast majority of folks weren't here. You might have noticed because we were at a joint youth retreat with several of the local Chinese churches and Korean churches. It was great. We had tons of food. And I will tell you the first thing I did when I walked in was to see which cabin I was assigned to. Okay, I walked in, and all leaders had a cabin they were assigned to. I opened it up, and when I saw which cabin I was in, I almost passed out. It was with the 8 great boys. That's the one cabin you never want to be sleeping in, okay? Because you never get to sleep. Every morning after that, when we were having breakfast, other teens from other cabins would come up to me and say, "Pastor Carter, why are your eyes all bloodshot? Why is it all red? I wonder why." But I had to give it to them. The ones that were with me on my side of the cabin, which were those boys over there, they did pretty good. It was the other one on the other side of the wall that kind of went crazy. So these boys were doing okay, which shocked me because I was not ready to be shocked by God, and God shocked me. So kudos to the guys over there. But, you know, that's just one weekend. If I were to go any more days than that, I would have broken down. I just need my beauty sleep. So that's kind of what happens. I want us to do a quick exercise here just to highlight that we are always on the go, and we don't ever really stop to rest until it is too late, okay? So what I want us to do right now is just play this game. Everyone stand up. So stand up, everybody. Stand up. Is everyone up? Okay, so here's what you need to do. I want each of you, when I count to three, to hold your breath as long as you can, okay? As soon as you're out of breath and you're about to pass out, sit down. Don't pass out. And we'll see how long each one of you can last. You guys ready? 1, 2, 3, go. You got one already. Oh, 8 great boys, they're down. Oh, wow, you guys are very serious with this. Oh, we got a couple people. They're losing out. Can't hold on. A couple more. All right, I won't make you guys pass out. You can sit down. You can say you were doing. Wow. Okay, let's go again. Come on, let's stand back up. No? Okay, nobody wants to do it. Why? It was literally just 30 seconds of holding your breath, and your body was already going into overdrive, right? It's trying to compensate for the lack of oxygen, and everyone's face was turning red. Your functions in your body, some of them were shutting down and re-diverting all the oxygen to core organs. And you can see just those couple seconds of holding your breath, you are already thinking, man, I need to breathe, I need to rest, I need to sit down. And that's just the operating mode every one of us are like going through our daily lives every day. We're just holding our breath, trying to do as much as we can, and then at the point where we're about to pass out, we're like, okay, I need to go to bed and just rest, right? Everyone can relate to that. At least that's my life. I feel like I never have time to stop and rest. And that's why God's word today is going to challenge us. And not only challenge us, but also show us how to have true rest. Okay, we all have our methods, our ways, our techniques, whether that's doing meditation or whether that's just sleeping a whole lot or whatever it is that we try to do on ourselves. I can guarantee you that doesn't give you sufficient rest. And you can ask anyone in the audience, especially the older ones, right? It just gets worse and worse. You just can't ever get rest, and you never ever recharge to 100%, and it just gets worse and worse as you age. In fact, research shows that if we are sleep deprived, there's a lot of negative things that happen to our body physically. So they did some studies about sleep and rest deprivation. Okay, so these are people who don't get enough sleep and don't get enough rest, and these were the things that started happening to those people. They started having strong correlation to cancer. So when you don't sleep, your body's not producing enough to fight cancer, and so your risk of getting cancer gets higher. Your risk of heart disease increases. You start getting signs of Alzheimer's, and your fertility rate drops. Sleeplessness, restlessness causes infertility. Okay, so for the younger people there, make sure you rest as much as you can. So that's the negative consequences of sleeplessness and rest. And, you know, that's just the physical. There's emotional, there's spiritual, there's all these other negative impacts that comes along with someone who just doesn't take time to rest and doesn't take time to rest properly. And that's what we're going to be challenged today is God's going to talk about what is rest really? Right, we have our ideas about what that means, but what does God say is true, deep, satisfying rest? And that's the question we're going to struggle with and try to work through today and unpack. And it's going to set in the setting of a conversation going on between the teachers of the law and the Pharisees with Jesus. So what we're going to go through as we read this passage is we're going to find that Jesus and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they agree. Okay, they agree that Sabbath is important, but they disagree on how to do it. They disagree on the intent, they disagree on the purpose, they disagree on how to practice it. And for those who aren't familiar with what Sabbath is, just to show you how God is serious about rest and how God thinks rest is a priority in our life, He actually made it one of the commandments. Okay, if you read the Ten Commandments, it's in there. It says very clearly, take the Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 20, God links Sabbath rest to His creation. He says, you know, when I created all of the earth and the universe, and I rested on the seventh day, that's what you should be doing, rest on the seventh day. And God reiterates it again in Deuteronomy 5. He links this time Sabbath rest with their freedom of slavery from Egypt. God says, when you take the Sabbath, remember that you were once slaves. You were in bondage. But God delivered you, freed you to have joy and celebration in the Lord. And when you take the Sabbath, remember that it is God who freed you and celebrate that day. And so we can go on and on about passages in Scripture that talks about Sabbath. But one of the main things that we all ought to know is that God places high priority on rest. And we ought to take rest seriously also. And so this week, working on this passage has been particularly hard for me because I'm not known to take rest very well. In fact, people always ask me, do you ever take rest? Especially my wife, you know, she cares a lot about my well-being. And so when I was working through this, I'm like, oh man, I'm the biggest culprit at taking rest. And so I praise God that He used this passage to really convict me and learn how to take rest in Him. And so if you will turn to Mark chapter 2, that's where we're diving into. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 28. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 28. The context is the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they're having a disagreement with Jesus about Sabbath. okay? And so we want to ask ourselves the question, is our idea of rest more like the Pharisees, or is our idea of rest more aligned with Jesus Christ? And I'm going to bet you most of us, myself included, we're lined up with the Pharisees. When we think of rest, we're thinking like them. Okay, the Pharisees will say, if you want rest, you follow the way that I prescribe. If you follow what I say is the way to rest, you're going to get rest. And that's what the Pharisees would say. But Jesus comes along and say, if you follow the Pharisees and rest the way that they teach you, you are going to find restlessness. You're going to find hardship. You're not going to be able to truly rest. So rest in the way that I teach you. Rest in the way that I, Jesus Christ, am going to show you right now. So let's read the passage. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some head of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is unlawful only for priests to eat, And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for men, not man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" A lot of times we look at passages like this and we give the Pharisees a hard time. You know, we say, man, look at those guys. They're all legalistic. Jesus is always picking on them, calling them hypocrites. But when it first started, it wasn't that way. You know, the Pharisees are like your pastors, your modern-day pastors. They take God's word very seriously. You know, they want to honor God. They want to honor and keep the Sabbath holy. And that was their intent. But the problem is, in their effort to try to make the day holy, in their effort to try to rest, in their effort to try to not work, they built so many other rules around it that it became so burdensome. And so that list is just a bunch of do's and don'ts, and it was a long list. It tells you how far you can walk before it becomes work. It tells you how much weight you can lift before it becomes work. It's just crazy stuff like that that they've put in place for good intentions, right? They don't want anyone to accidentally work. They want people to rest. But the problem is, the more rules and regulations and laws you put in place, the more burdensome it becomes for someone to rest. Because think about it, during the Sabbath, all you become paranoid with is, oh, am I doing too much? Am I breaking this law? Am I holding too much? Am I walking too far? And it becomes a day of anxiety, not a day of rest. And so the Pharisees kind of went the complete opposite way. And instead of honoring God and resting and celebrating in the Lord, it became a day of following rules and regulations and being all stressed out of whether they're resting or not. And that is kind of like our lives. We build habits, we build rules, we build all these things into our schedule to maximize things we can do and minimize things we can't do, and we are rigid with our sleep schedules, and we start building all these things around our lives, hopefully to rest and maximize our day. But what ends up happening, it becomes so rigid that we end up being a very restless person. And even in our intentions to rest, we say, oh, I have to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep. And when I don't get that, I become grumpy and anxious, and I start yelling at everybody. And, you know, college people can probably relate to this. They sleep the least out of everyone else. That's why they're grumpy all the time. John's like, yes, I agree, Pastor Carter. And so we build all these things just like the Pharisees, and we're very rigid around our lives and our schedules and our habits and our traditions. And so we end up having this life of restlessness, just like the Pharisee, accomplishing the exact opposite of how God wants us to live our lives. So what is Jesus' response to this? If that's not the right way to think about rest, then what would Jesus do to correct that, right? How can we biblically think about rest in a way that Jesus says glorify God? And so this is where Jesus gives his answer, and it's in two folds. He gives us two different things for us to think about rest. And the first one is this little story he talks about in Mark chapter 2, verse 25 to 26. He gives this story about David, King David. It's from 1 Samuel, okay? The first time I read this, I'm like, what in the world? What has this got to do with rest? So I'm just going to read it again just so we're fresh in our mind. Verse 25, he answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." See, the Pharisees were picking on Jesus and his disciples saying, "Hey, look, you're picking on grains. You are working. You have broken the Sabbath," right? And Jesus doesn't say, "Yes, I've broken it," or "No, I haven't." He goes to a story in the Old Testament to answer them. And he talks about David. He gives this precedent that King David set that really the situation has happened before. What Jesus and his disciples are doing right now isn't something new. And so he goes to the precedent and say, look at what King David did. Okay, we know in 1 Samuel, in this particular season in King David's life, he has been recognized as king, but he's not been put on the throne yet. And so King Saul was pursuing him. He was trying to kill David. And so David and his companions were running away from being killed, right? And it says in this particular passage that David entered the temple and he was hungry and he was in need. Now Jesus agreed. In fact, Jesus said it is lawful only for the priest to eat the bread. So Jesus agreed, okay, on the day of Sabbath, this bread should only be eaten by the priest and no one else. So Jesus agreed that the Sabbath was important. He agreed that the law was important. But why did Jesus appeal to this passage and say, well, look at David, he did it. Why is that okay? And this is what we're going to work towards in this first part of Jesus' answer and second part, is that rest isn't found in rules and habits. Rest isn't found in rules and habits. Jesus wants to show us that the law is given by God for our benefit, right? Just like the Sabbath is given to us so that we can rest, so that we can enjoy God, so that we don't get all frazzled by life. But there are cases where human needs and people supersede the law. And in this particular case, he said, yeah, David and his companion, they weren't supposed to eat the bread. It is only lawful for the priest. But because they were hungry and in need, you need to minister to people first. That's essentially what Jesus is saying. It isn't rooted in rules and habits. Some of us are very rigid in that, and we're saying no is no, yes is yes. There is never an exception. And remember, the passage that kicked it all off is Jesus and his disciples were just picking some grain, right? That's hardly work. But the Pharisees say that is work. You've broken the Sabbath. And Jesus says, no. There are certain cases where people's needs come before rules and habits. Think about it this way. When you think about speed limits, okay, when the speed limit says 20, how fast should you go? 25. I'm glad we don't have a police officer in here. One, okay, you're going to get stopped by a cop also. When the speed limit says 20, you go 20, okay? If the speed stays 60, how fast do you go? What, 69? Is that 65? Oh man, you guys are all gonna fail your driver's license. But what happens is the law is there so that we follow it for the safety of all the pedestrians and motorists, right? And for 99.999% of the case, that is true. It's to protect people. But there is that 0.00000001 time when there are people in need. So how fast does an ambulance go in a 20 mile per hour zone? 45? 670? 1,000? Man, your car doesn't even go past 1,000. The point here is that there are times in need where the ambulance is allowed to break the speed limit law because there is a human in need. Someone's about to die. So you can't be following the law because you need to go save a person. And essentially, Jesus is giving us the same point here. He's saying when David was running away from Saul and his companions were hungry and weary and they need rest and they need nourishment, that is the one time when you would say, I'm going to put the law aside and minister to the person. And Jesus is essentially saying the same thing here. You can't be so rigid with your law that when you see people in need and need of rest, and especially for yourself, you can't be so rigid with your schedule that you kind of keep doing those things, neglecting your rest, that it becomes detrimental to you, right? Rest isn't found in rules and habits. And this is what Jesus is saying. People, always people, over rigid rules and habits. And so that's one way you can rest. You just got to relax. Okay, I know especially like some first-time mom, they're very rigid with their baby schedules. Sometimes you got to just step back and relax. God says sometimes that is okay. And that's how you get rest for yourself and for people who need rest that you can help. Don't get all consumed by your rules and habits. And the second part is this. Rest can only be found in the person of Jesus, our creator and designer. Where did I get that part from? Let's look at Mark 2, verse 27 and 28. So the last part to this passage, okay? This is Jesus' holistic answer. He's saying rest isn't found in rules and habits, but it is found in the person of Jesus, our creator and designer. This is what he says, verse 27, 28. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So Jesus makes an audacious claim here. He's saying that I, the Son of Man, is Lord over Sabbath. Okay, what that means is he's saying he is the author of the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath. He's the one who has authority to tell us what the Sabbath means, how to live by it, and how to practice it. In fact, Jesus is the creator of all life. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the Lord, and I'm telling you, the Sabbath was not made. Man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for the man. I created Sabbath so you can rest. But man, you made Sabbath into something of your own, and you're causing all these unnecessary burden on people. So Jesus said, I'm the Lord. Rest in me. I'm the designer. Help you think about this. Think about this. Ooh, can't show that yet. But I did, so I'll show you. When you think of pillows, what do you think of? Pillows and cushions. Louder. Soft, hard, soft, what else? Sleep, white, white pillows. Okay, when we think of pillows, okay, let me say, if a normal person was to think of a pillow, we think about rest, soft, fluffy, sleep, right? That's what we think about. But pillow can also be used for smacking people, right? Pillows can be used for throwing at someone that you're not happy with. You can weaponize pillows, right? Anyone ever had a pillow thrown at them? Yeah, it's kind of soft, but it hurts. So what is going on here is Jesus is saying, I'm the designer. I designed the pillow. I know what the pillow is for. The pillow was designed for rest. But you've taken the pillow and you've weaponized it. You've taken it to smack people when they're not listening. You've taken it to smack people when they're not following the law. And it's the same problem. Jesus said, I created rest. I'm the designer. I designed your body. I designed this world. I created the universe. I created how you rest. I know you best. I am your creator and I'm your designer. And I know what is best for you in terms of rest. And so you need to come back to me, the creator, the designer, because I know best. I know what is the best way for you to rest. And if you go out and you try to find all these other techniques and all these rules and all these habits and all these other ways to try to rest, you will never really find rest. It's like a Band-Aid. They kind of help you get through a day or two, but 3 days later, you're still restless again. Our heart is always restless. Our body is always restless. And the only way we can find rest is when we find rest in the one who designed us, who created us, and that is Christ Jesus. And that's why when we look at this passage, you know, we need to understand rest isn't built in all these other things. It is only built in the person of Jesus. And we, if you want rest, you gotta go to the Lord. It's a simple, simple theory. It's a simple biblical truth. But there's deep implications to our lives. And I want us to look at a couple things that can help us develop that sense of rest that is in the Lord, okay? So if you have your bulletin, you should have this. If not, just raise your hand. Yao Ming at the back can give you a bulletin. Now, I want to go through a couple practical ways that we can start developing rest in the Lord. So you should have that article called How to Rest in God's Promises Every Single Day. The first thing I want to challenge us is to memorize a verse. So to hang on to the promise of God, because I don't know how rested each one of us here are today. I can bet you we're not. We probably feel tired and drained. And so one of the things that we want to always and first do is hang on to the promise of God. And the first one is in Matthew 11, 28. So on your sheet, it should be kind of grayed out up top. And my challenge is for each one of us to memorize this verse by heart, okay? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is a promise of God that he gives to each one of us. Matthew 11, 28. Can we all recite that together? Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is God's promise. And so are you weary and burdened? Are you just weary and restless in life and your heart is just going, oh, I don't know how to deal with life? Hang on to this promise. Recite it to yourself every day. Okay, that's the challenge. Number one, next Sunday, we're going to see who has memorized this. This is a simple, simple verse. And then we have three practical ways for us to start changing our minds from how the Pharisees think to how Jesus calls us to think. The first one is have a devotional life. I can't stress this enough. We were at our youth retreat and we asked who here does devotions, and none of the youth raised their hands. Okay, you can't be rested in the Lord if you're not spending time with the Lord. And a lot of people think devotional life is time-consuming, it takes too much work, and I don't have time in the day to do devotion. That is exactly why you need to do devotion. Okay, stop. Just stop. Take time to do devotion. And this is my devotional book. It's just a leftover from one of their school's stuff, right? I'm cheap. I don't buy. I just take and reuse, and I'm frugal. But this is what I write in there. It's simple, my devotion. I write a date, I read a passage, so I'm going through Psalms right now, and I read one passage of Psalms, I write down one or two things that God is speaking to me, and those are the promises that I hang on to for the day, and those are the things that gives me rest, and I'm going through the day, and I have a prayer, so I'll write maybe three prayer items, and that's it. All of that takes 10 minutes. Okay, don't tell me you don't have 10 minutes to do this. Read God's word, rest in him, hang on to his promises, and that will set you up for rest for the rest of the day. Whether you're going through anxieties and hardships or you're going through joy and celebration, it will ground your heart and take rest in the Lord as you're going through the day. Secondly, remember what God's already done. That's number two. Sometimes you get so frazzled in life that you need to just stop and look at how God has led you through life. And we had a sermon about this, the Ebenezer stone. You guys remember that? It's a stone that in the Old Testament they used to remember God's deeds in their lives. And so if you still have that stone or you have that Ebenezer symbol, look at it and say, wow, God gave me rest through all of that. remember what he did, and that will help ground you and give you a restful heart. And the last one is self-check to see what exactly it is you're carrying. And I will tell you, many times we carry on burdens more than God really wants us to do. We take on so much, and we're not even thinking, does God want me to do this or not? And so we become the culprit of why we're restless. You know, think about all the classes, think about all the sports, think about all the things that we fill our calendar up with. These are just things that we're carrying. A lot of them, honestly, are unnecessary, and they cause us restlessness in our life. And so step back and just say, what are these things I'm carrying? Like, why am I even doing this? Is this causing me to be restless? Can I get rid of it so that I get rest in the Lord? So hopefully these are three practical things that you can work on this week. And let's start as a community, start finding rest in the Lord, because that's the kind of rest that God wants us to have. Imagine a life where you wake up each day, you spend 10 minutes in the Word of Lord, grounding your heart, grounding your thinking, grounding your mind, and then going through that day. It will make a radically different kind of day for you. And so we got to rest in the Lord if we want true rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. We thank you, Lord, for passages like these that challenge us, God. I know that especially now in America, and especially with families, we are just constantly go, 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 and there's really no time, Lord, for us to rest. And I pray, Lord, that you teach us and challenge us today to be a people that appreciate and put rest as a high priority in our lives, just as you put the Sabbath as high priority in our lives. And Lord, I just want to give you thanks for helping us understand, God, that you designed us to rest. You didn't design us to be like machines. And so God, teach us from today onwards how to rest in Jesus Christ. We give you praises and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.